Excerpt from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. You may be seated. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, whom I've spoken of before, was a Lutheran pastor in World War II Germany. He was imprisoned toward the end of the war for his resistance against Hitler. You can imagine the degradation of a German prison camp. And yet it was said of Bonhoeffer that when he stepped out of his prison cell and into the prison courtyard, that he did so calmly, cheerfully, firmly, that he carried himself like a squire, leaving his manor house. His was a life that seemed to embody these words of St. Paul: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Bonhoeffer's bearing and pastoral care toward the other prisoners was reportedly profound, strong, hopeful, gentle, right up to the day of his execution, just a few weeks before that camp was liberated by the Allies. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Here in these closing words of encouragement to the people of Thessalonica, we see another three-part encouragement of the Christian life from St. Paul. This passage sounds much like his encouragement to the believers in Rome in a passage of Scripture that is one of my favorites. It's Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be constant in prayer. The two passages are slightly different, but surely the spirit of them is the same. For today, we focus on the Thessalonians version. And I'd like to suggest that we apply this passage, that is to say, that we adopt it into our daily lives in a kind of reverse order from the way in which it appears in the text. So hear it once more: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. So if we begin at the end of that passage, we begin first with a heart full of thankfulness. In the midst of all of the circumstances that we face in this life, there is opportunity to give thanks, and such genuine thankfulness leads and invites us into prayer. When you are truly thankful, it is only natural that you would express that thanks. We do that among each other all the time. And prayer, of course, is that expression in our relationship with our Lord. And such prayer enables us to focus our hearts on the Lord and thereby truly rejoice in the incredible blessings that He has poured down upon us, and to rejoice in what should be an always profound revelation that we have a personal relationship with Almighty God, the one who invites us to come to Him in prayer. Remember that old hymn lyric: what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Well, over these past several weeks of Advent, we have encouraged in our preaching, Pastor Jennings and I, that each of us spend some time in silence, hearing God's word in the quietness of Advent and in private prayer. Well, this morning, I'm going to invite you to do just that right here. In just a moment, Mrs. Fick will quietly play the familiar refrain from from that beautiful Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. And in that brief moment, I encourage you in private prayer to offer thanks to God for one of the many blessings in your life for which you can just easily rejoice. In my own life in recent days, I give thanks for Mom's progress of healing. It's the story I shared with some of you on Thanksgiving Day. And also that our soldier sons are coming home. For each of us, it may be something different. With hearts of thankfulness, we pray. Amen. The illustration of Pastor Bonhoeffer's faith can certainly be admirable, and rightly so. But such a life can also seem out of reach if we are to consider it too closely in comparison with our own. This one who was seemingly a giant in the faith. But there was another side to him as well, one that he expressed in a poem about the very topic of his faithful demeanor. The poem he titled, Who Am I? And he begins by describing what others see, those glowing depictions of his calm, cheerful, confident stature. And yet later in the poem, he asks, Am I really all that which other men tell of? Or am I only what I know of myself? Restless and longing and sick, like a bird in a cage, weary and empty at praying, at thinking, at making, faint and ready to say farewell to it all. Who am I? Our Lord knows we too carry burdens. And in such times, our giving thanks in all circumstances may focus on more simple blessings. Perhaps it's the care and kindness of others. In the face of difficulty, we do well to give thanks for the very privilege to still pray continually, even with the words of a burdened heart. And in those times, rejoicing doesn't likely take the form of outward celebration, but may come solely from the upward hope in God's deliverance in the midst of trial. And I invite you again, next, to bring privately before God a burden that you are carrying, or a difficulty that you know burdens someone else. Bring that before our Lord as we take another moment in the quiet of Advent to be in prayer. For with hearts that can also be heavy, we pray. Amen. Finally and ultimately, our reason for thanksgiving and prayer and rejoicing transcends our daily lives, both the times and reasons for happiness and those for sorrow as well. For our cause for ultimate rejoicing is truly beyond our circumstances. And that's what makes the Christian faith so extraordinary. We need not depend on what we see or feel to have cause to give thanks and pray and rejoice. Consider that refrain that has framed our few moments of quiet and prayer. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel. Emmanuel, God himself has come to you, O people of God. That is the truest source of thanksgiving. That is the object of our prayer. It is the reason for our rejoicing. Christ has come to make us his own. In Isaiah 61, we hear the announcement of the mission of the Messiah, to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and of his vengeance, to comfort all who mourn. And Isaiah himself celebrates this announcement with his own personal testimony. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. That glorious truth, to be clothed with salvation in Jesus Christ, was also the very foundation of Pastor Bonhoeffer's faith as well. And whether he portrayed an almost superhuman faith in the face of the greatest evil imaginable, or felt the weakness of his own longings and frailty, his life was anchored in the promise of God's coming among us. And his poem concludes with these words. Who am I, this or the other? Am I one person today and another tomorrow? Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine. Whoever you are, know for sure that you are God's. Perhaps there are days in which you walk boldly in faith and rejoice easily in all of the blessings God has showered upon you. Perhaps there are also days in which you stumble with doubt and the fatigue of life, struggling to string any words together that sound at all like prayer. You are God's. You are the reason Emmanuel has come among us. And through this coming of the Christ, God has clothed you with a garment of salvation, a garment washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ upon that cross and made white in the pureness of God's grace. Listen again to the prayer and promise in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. May the God of peace sanctify you. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. God's faithfulness gives us ample reason to rejoice and give thanks in all circumstances of this life. And so I invite you to join me in the refrain of that Advent hymn of faithful joy. Would you please stand? As together we sing.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Amen. You may be seated.